You're listening to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio 830 WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
With 50,000 watts of political talk all across New England, you're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN 830. He's Terry Hendricks, running to be a delegate for the Cleveland Convention, and I'm John Featherston. We're joined on the phone by Michael Freeberg, the editor of Here and Spear, and a good friend of the program, Don from Stoughton. We're talking a little bit about the transgender bill and Governor Baker being, inappropriately booed off the stage the other night. But Michael, pick up back up on the conversation about the transgender bill and your thoughts.
Well, I'm going to make one analogy here, since the issue was raised about from crimes being committed under the purview of this bill. If a person comes into a bank wearing a hoodie and decides to rob the bank, is that any reason whatsoever why I, a citizen, cannot come into that bank wearing a hoodie and deposit money? Of course not. So why should we be denied civil rights because some people may commit a crime pretending to be somebody? It's just a ridiculous argument.
What do you think, Don?
Well, the mayor of Lawrence noted that crime is a situation to be contended with in Lawrence. And as I think everybody knows, that it's only about 1% of the population of the United States that's responsible for all the crimes that are committed, about 33 million people. If 1% of people who transgender and they choose to use a bathroom and do so in a criminal manner or in some manner that takes and scares or hurts other people, I mean, we're looking at the same ratio here. Now, yes, criminals do wear hoodies into banks, but that is their criminal intent to do so, and you cannot take and punish all people who wear hoodies based upon the actions of a few. But I'm thinking to myself, a bathroom is a bathroom. If you're a man trying to transgender to a woman, is it so difficult to use a men's bathroom if you are physically still yet a man? And how does that deny you a right?
Well, nobody is a man trying to transition. A transgender person is of the gender that they know they are. Now, whether they look at it or not, and I know a great many transgender people who have not transgendered, who have not transitioned their appearances fully or even at all. Many, many transgendered people live in disguise, as they call it in drab, D-R-A-B. And it's a very painful thing to do if you're a transgender woman living as a man, which you know you're not, and vice versa, although we don't talk about trans men very often. The fact is that the state needs to recognize that such people exist, and whether they're 1% or one person, they're entitled to their civil rights. By the way, the state law that we already have protects trans people in schools and locker rooms. Schools are completely covered, so the situation that we're talking about in a school is already covered. It's, you're talking about out in public, in bus stations, in restaurants, etc.
Correct.
It's it is a wrong argument. At the hearing in front of the city, in front of the legislature recently, the police chief of Boston and the district attorney were there to argue for the bill. And police chiefs all across the state have been there to argue for the bill. So those who are directly concerned with the criminal justice system feel this is a good bill. I don't see how somebody can claim superior knowledge or a superior interest to them when it comes to that.
All right, well, there's going to be more. Stay tuned for more on this one. I think it's going to get more interesting and unfortunately might get a little bit more heated. But I wanted to take a couple minutes. We got a couple minutes till the bottom of the hour in CBS News. Tuesday, tax bills are due, and everybody's got to mail in their taxes. We've got Michael Freeberg, a political blogger, and Don from Stoughton. What are you guys' thoughts on your tax returns this year?
Who are you taking first, me?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead, Don.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I mean, again, we're kind of held to this scenario that we all take and must take and declare our own taxes and send them in. But there are far better systems than what we have, and I don't understand why the smart, intelligent people in Congress, the best and the brightest, haven't come up with a better system and make it more efficient and more effective and get the burden off the backs of the people, as I've spoken before. Why not tax the transfer of securities at brokerage houses and then just have that tax be hidden in the services that are provided by those different agencies, and the taxpayer goes home with a 95% of what their wages are.
What do you think, Michael Freeberg of Hear and Spear?
About what?
Just, you know, the tax system and, you know...
There are other issues that come in my attention. I just bite the bullet and take the time to do my 1040 and my Schedule E and get all that stuff in order, and I just do it. And I leave to the presidential candidates dealing with that issue.
Yeah,
politics is local, you know.
Yeah. I guess my problem with having a hidden tax like that, and there are so many taxes that people don't know about. They're already just, you know, we don't even know how deeply we're taxed. You know, if you look at your phone bill and there, you know, a number of taxes there to fund a number of things, your utility bills, you know, your real estate taxes, your excise tax.
Cell phone cable.
And on and on. And I guess one more tax that would raise that kind of money is a little bit scary, because this is not a zero-sum game. It is a zero-sum game. If you take the money out, it's still coming out of people's pockets, people who obviously invest. But, you know, there are pension. Everybody has a pension of some kind. Even Social Security money is invested. So I guess I'm a little concerned about any time there's a hidden tax like that, and that would be hidden from people.
Well, basically, on that tax, that would be the only tax. There would be no income tax on people. You'd go home with nearly your entire paycheck. There would be no April 15th.
Well, I think that's...
It would be more effective taxing larger institutions. It's like if the King of England had taxed the East India Tea Company as opposed to every person who was buying tea. That's insanity.
Well, Don...
Why don't you take it more and make it more ineffective, when if you could do it more efficiently on the big boys... You do it there, and then they pass the tax along.
Well, Don, I see your argument, but I guess my concern is they'd implement that tax, and then before you know it, there'd be an income tax again.
No.
Well,
there's only one. You don't mess around with that. You surrender the individual income tax for a tax on the transfer trading of securities, and that takes care of it. Other than that, if they want to put a tax on people, Terry and John, what you do is a direct apportioned tax, like they did back in 1812, to pay for the war back then.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, there shouldn't be this need for more taxes.
Well, I think it'd be wonderful for us to not have an April 15th and the burden of taxes.
I've just proven that it can be done.
But I guess the thing I'd want, if we had a tax like that, I would want a constitutional amendment that would prevent them from taxing us like we already taxed.
I think that would be appropriate. I'd like to see every American have their own tax-free savings account. A country that cannot allow the poorest amongst us to prosper is a very corrupt nation. It's insanity. Well, when you get old and retire, you're going to have to depend upon government handouts. Well, why can't you let me prosper? And the silence is deafening.
Well, we'll pick up that again, too. You know, we've got a lot of topics to keep moving on. Our guest, Michael Freeberg from Hear and Spear. What are the hot political issues that you're covering for your blog, Hear and Spear?
The charter school cap lift number one. Boy, is that a hot issue in Boston where I live and work. That, and the second one, frankly, is right now, what is wrong with the governor and his communications with people? I hear from a lot of people, not just from the transgender bill, that the governor is not well advised on what is actually going on out there in the street. I don't know why he went to that event without preparation that he would be potentially meeting a hard time. Somebody should have prepared him better. And it's not just there, but it's also there. Well, I could talk about the recent Senate race and the endorsement they chose for a candidate who was quite flawed. And those are the two issues that I'm really covering right now.
Let's talk a little bit more about the charter schools. What are your thoughts? And then I want to get Don's thoughts as well.
I think charter school cap lift is absolutely essential. There's almost no opposition except among one very big special interest group that has inordinate power, because in the Democratic primary, only 15% of the people vote, and that's where all of Boston's legislators are chosen. However, the charter school cap advocates, I don't have much faith in their political sharpness. I really don't. They endorsed the wrong candidate in the Senate race. I've seen them in action. Their ads aren't very, awful good, feel-good ads, but they're not good at addressing the issues. They don't send people out to debates to debate the issue well. They're avoiding the school budget issues that are essential to this. I think the governor, frankly, should set up his own charter school cap ballot team. I don't see that he's done so. The last thing I was told when I requested it was, Michael, well, there's a lot of people smarter than we are doing this. Well, if they're smarter than Governor Baker, then Governor Baker's in trouble.
What do you think, Don from Stoughton? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, no, on the charter schools, I believe that competition is good. There was a black teacher out in Chicago called Marva Collins.
Oh, yeah.
And she always championed that there be competition. She could teach children to accomplish better things in school using less money, but she was always shunned because she wasn't a big supporter of the unions and that there. So, yeah, let's try charter schools. Let's try many different types of schools to see what happens. I mean, here in Stoughton, they want to put up a $130 million new school that'll be empty for 16 hours a day, and I don't know why they're doing it, because basically kids can learn better on computers, and that's been proven many times over. A child can take and advance at their own rate, and if they need help, well, then that's where the teachers would go to help out. But why hold all children back to the least amongst a schoolroom? Yeah, charter schools.
All right, guys, it's been a great conversation. I want to thank Michael Freeberg of the political blog Here in Spear for taking a couple minutes to join us this morning. And Don from Stoughton, it's always great to talk to you. It's the bottom of the hour. We're going to get on top of things with CBS News. You're tuned to All Politics is Local here on WCRN 830 AM.